From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM, open lines at the half. Next hour, controversies in the universe, real science with David Talbot and Wallace Thornhill. Should be a fantastic program. Well, the wife of millionaire adventurer Stephen Fawcett, who disappeared while flying his plane in September in rugged western terrain, has asked a court to declare him legally dead. Now, this request was a step toward resolving the legal status of Fawcett's estate, which, according to court papers, is vast, surpassing eight figures in liquid assets, various entities, and real estate. The 63-year-old Fawcett disappeared September 3rd after taking off in a single-engine plane from an airstrip in Nevada, heading toward Bishop, California. Al-Qaeda's media wing will soon release a new message, they say, from Osama bin Laden. It said the message will be addressed to European countries. The announcement by Al-Qaeda's As-Sabab media production wing was posted on an Islamic website that commonly airs militant videos. The statement did not say when the message would be released or whether it would be a video or audio tape. President Bush has signed a deal setting the foundation for a potential long-term U.S. troop presence in Iraq, with details to be negotiated over matters that have defined the war debate here at home. How many U.S. forces will stay in the country and for how long? The agreement between Mr. Bush and the Iraqi Prime Minister confirms that the United States and Iraq will hash out an enduring relationship in military, economic, and political terms. Details of that relationship will be negotiated in 2008 with a completion goal of July. Vice President Dick Cheney will undergo further evaluation of an irregular heartbeat found Monday morning during a checkup for lingering cold symptoms. They found the fibrillation in him, an abnormal rhythm involving the upper chambers of the heart. He was at George Washington University Hospital in Washington, D.C. for further evaluation. Cheney has had a history of heart conditions. In 1978, he had his first heart attack, after which he stopped smoking. He had three more heart attacks. After the third heart attack in 1988, he underwent quadruple bypass surgery. Well, 2 years ago, way under. Last year, way over. This year, still not right. It's been a stormy few years for scientists who predict total hurricane activity before each season begins, which raises fundamental questions as the 2007 season draws to an end on Friday. According to Max Mayfield, the former director of the National Hurricane Center, the seasonal hurricane forecasters simply have a lot of explaining to do. Just before the season started on June 1st, the nationally prominent Gray Klotzbach team at Colorado State University predicted that 17 named storms would grow into 9 hurricanes, 5 of which would be particularly intense, with winds above 110 miles an hour. The actual results for the 2007 season, 14 named storms, 5 hurricanes, and only 2 intense hurricanes. In Detroit, police investigating the apparent abuse of a 1-year-old boy, they say they found the skeletal remains of his baby brother concealed in the ceiling of a home. In order to conceal the baby, the couple apparently burned the body in a barbecue grill. The parents have been arraigned on first and second degree child abuse charges. Unbelievable story. Also in Detroit, the Wayne County Sheriff's Department is investigating the discovery of a decapitated man's body inside of a manhole. The water department was called to the area to investigate reports of a backed up sewer, I would guess so. In Newport, Washington, university student tied to a pickup truck and dragged to his death on a rural road, had been threatening people with an axe during a night of heavy drinking at a hunting campsite. They've arrested somebody for that one. A 14-year-old New Zealand girl nearly lost her eyesight when her eyes were gouged by relatives in an exorcism ceremony in which her cousin died. The girl is recovering after emergency operations on her eyes to save her sight after relatives scratched at her eyes to remove the devil. And in India, a teenager had an incredible escape after a metal pole went straight through his head after a bus crash. Doctors said it was a miracle that he survived after a 4-foot safety rail went through his forehead and came out the base of his skull. It's one of the strangest stories I've ever heard. You know, we have been following the plight of Edward Brown and Elaine Brown. Those were the two people who went to jail for not paying their federal income tax, and then they refused to surrender to federal government agents. Remember that? Well, that was in New Hampshire. Then they got arrested. The agents posed as protesters and got their way onto the grounds of their home. Well, Ed Brown is now imprisoned at the Federal Correctional Institute in Ohio. Elaine Brown is apparently imprisoned at the Federal Correctional Institute at Danbury, Connecticut. So they've been split up and apparently in isolation. So we're going to get an update on their plight from David von Kleist in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. David von Kleist, he hosts the Power Hour, the radio show, powerhour.com, with his wife, Nurse Joyce Riley. He's been following the plight of Ed and Elaine Brown. And he's going to update us for a moment on just the situation out there. David, how are you? I know Ed and Elaine have written letters now. Tell me about that.
Yes, we haven't had too much as far as information as far as how they're doing. But I did coincidentally receive a package this morning from one of the supporters that apparently was able to get a letter from Elaine and one from Ed. And, of course, made copies and has been sending them out to everybody, trying to alert the world as to what's going on with Ed and Elaine.
They have been isolated. As I mentioned, I think Ed is in Ohio. She is in Connecticut. Is that correct? Or are they back together?
Correct. Yes.
All right. So the separation has occurred. Now, what is going on with their situation? Do you know if they're going to appeal?
Well, there's a lot of talk about that. As a matter of fact, last week I attended the Freedom Conference rally in Dallas, Texas. It's a biannual meeting that's put on by the Freedom Law School out of Los Angeles there. And a whole host of constitutional attorneys, former IRS agents, tax researchers, et cetera, attended. And the discussion about Ed and Elaine was that, yes, they do want to put together an appeal, but of course the cost is going to be absolutely tremendous, and they're not quite sure how they can do this. Of course, there's a lot of strategy involved, because when you're doing battle with the IRS, it's not so much of what the law says or how it's written. It has a lot to do with procedure, which is kind of bizarre, but that appears to be the way it is. You've got to make your argument in just the right way, or else the judge is not going to allow certain arguments to be heard. And that's the case with Ed and Elaine. If you recall, when Ed went to court, the judge refused to allow any of the evidence that he had to be submitted in the court. And this has been the case numerous times. I talked with Robert Lawrence, who was also brought up on charges of failure to file. And they actually had to throw his case out because of the OMB number, the Operation Management Bureau, has an OMB number. All federal forms have an OMB number. And this is the case with the 1040 income tax form. The problem is that the OMB number is a bogus number on the 1040 form. It's been a no good number since I believe 1985, I think it is. They passed the Paper Reduction Act in 1982. And whatever OMB numbers were on federal forms expired 3 years after that, and unless the federal government had put in to have those OMB numbers renewed, and that was not the case with the 1040 form. So all 1040s have an OMB number that's wrong, which means that the 1040 form is a fraudulent document. And this, when this was brought up in the court, the IRS agent, or I'm sorry, the attorney representing the IRS stood up and said he wanted to dismiss all charges immediately. So Mr. Lawrence didn't necessarily win the case. He didn't lose the case. They just basically dropped it.
Just dropped it and got out of it. I've got a copy of Ed's letter and Elaine's, a part of Ed's, to Ray, the person he sent the letter to.
Right.
Says, it's not over, Ray. I don't think they realize what they have done. So it sounds like he's not going to give up.
Oh, he's not. He is a feisty guy. I mean, I've known Ed since 96, I believe it is, when I first met him. And he's a devout Christian. He believes in the rule of law, in God's law. And in law, if it is, if our country is a godly country, you know, I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt that said, America is great because America is good. When America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And I think we can all see how far, you know, how far this country has fallen from grace. Bottom line here is that obviously the spirit of the law has been perverted here. And in this case, we're talking about a law that doesn't even exist. And this is where the conversation was about at the Freedom Law Schools. We all now realize that there is no law that requires the average person to file an income tax return or pay an income tax.
See, the problem with some of this, though, David, is, you know, even we were talking with Sherry Jackson several months ago, a former IRS examiner who believes that the law doesn't exist. And so she decided not to pay taxes and file. And they just nailed her in court, too. And she's going to have to appeal, or they're going to keep her for some time. The juries aren't really backing people up. Now, there's some cases, of course. Louisiana attorney Tom Crier wins his. But generally, overall, people who get IRS charges of, you know, of failing to file, failing to pay, they get convicted.
Well, again, we're coming up against the situation of procedure and how the argument is presented. And this is why, you know, it requires a good deal of background. I mean, a lot of folks, you know, they want to go in there and represent themselves in the court of law, and they think that they can do it, but in fact that they can't. The issue here is, and this is one of the things that Tom Crier talked about. He gave an absolutely brilliant, motivating speech at the dinner that we had a week ago, Friday night. And the issue here is people need to work together. His website he's put together is truthattack.org, and he's asking everybody to go and become educated on the situation and join together with all the people across the country, including IRS agents and attorneys, so that we can basically put all of our heads together and work as a team, as a force, against this corrupted system that we've got here. Because, again, it's not a question of whether or not what the law is. It's how the argument is presented in the court of law. And unless you know exactly how to deal with procedure and how to present your case, the cards are definitely stacked against you.
David, what do you tell someone who says, look, I file my income tax forms, I pay my taxes, I'm a good American?
Uh-huh.
And they probably are. But what do you say to them?
Well, I'm not quite sure. How do you mean?
Do you chastise them for paying their income taxes, for filing? I mean, do you say, look, you're making a mistake, you don't have to do this? I mean, there are a lot of people, pro and con, who support the Browns, truly support the Browns, and then you have a lot of people who pay their taxes and they think that they've broken the law and that they need to be put away. What do you say to those people?
Okay, well, first of all, the phrase, did you pay your taxes? Okay, I pay my taxes. What constitutes possession of the tax? Well, how does the tax apply to an individual? That is the question. The question is, are you liable for a tax? If you believe you're liable, then by all means, pay the tax. If you do some research and find that you actually are liable, then you must pay the tax. And I and all the other people out there that have been researching this are not encouraging anybody to break the law. We are simply saying that you need to study and you need to see how the law applies to you as an individual. And I've personally written letters to the IRS, certified return receipt letters, quoting page, line, and verse from the IRS code and asking them to please explain how these apply to me, because I want to be a law-abiding citizen. I want to pay a tax if I am liable for it. However, if I am not liable for it, I want to make sure that I'm not volunteering, you know, my hard-earned labor. So I'm volunteering money towards a system that doesn't apply to me.
And did they ever respond to you?
Never did.
Not even a form letter?
Not even a form letter. And see, this is just it. When you contact the IRS with an open hand, and again, I can encourage other people to please research this. If I'm crazy, then, and if we're all crazy, somebody's got to stop us. But if we're all not crazy, then we all have got to work together to stop them. The bottom line here is that if you are liable for an income tax, you must pay it. But the question is, are you liable? Is that your tax? I pay my taxes. Well, fine. If you have taxes, then you have to pay them. But if they're not your taxes, you're not obligated to pay them. So it's up to the individual to find out whether or not the tax code applies to you. Is the money that you have coming in income as defined in the IRS code? And the IRS code gets into explaining out how income as defined is corporate profit based on certain activities.
I noticed today that Fred Thompson has come up with his own tax plan, somewhat different, but Ron Paul, of course, would totally restructure all of this. But it's really not a major presidential issue yet. And I'm surprised, David.
Well, no, it's not. If you recall, several years ago, Robert Schultz from the We the People Foundation, along with many of the people who attended the Freedom Law School rally last week, and myself included, we all went to Washington, D.C. There was a caravan that started on the West Coast, and people got petitions, and they all had letters from attorneys and from IRS agents and from constitutional researchers, et cetera, et cetera. They had presented all of these to every member of Congress, every member of the Senate, the Department of Justice, the IRS, and the President of the United States. And they were hand-delivered, they were signed for, and it was basically a redress of grievances. And they were going to Washington to demand an answer to the question, where is the law that says that the average American has to file a tax? And they descended on Washington, D.C., and had a huge rally. This was in November of 02, I believe it was. And none of the congressional representatives or Senate, nobody would address this issue. They're absolutely ignoring it. And when they presented it to President Clinton at the time, I guess it was 01. Mm-hmm. President Clinton was in office. And the response that they did get from President Clinton's office was that this was not an issue that they cared to deal with. Period. I mean, that's, they didn't feel that it was important enough for the American people. So they just sidestepped the entire thing. And I really can't think of an issue that doesn't affect every person in this country more so than the income tax and the IRS. And I think that, Ron Paul has been very much aware of this. And this is why one of the things in his platform is to totally abolish the IRS.
Well, David, we're going to keep pounding away at this. We're going to do a full program on this with Bannister and some other people about this, and I'm not going to let it go away. I just want to get to the bottom of it. ThePowerHour.com, of course, is your show and your website. How's Joyce doing?
She's doing great. As a matter of fact, she wanted me to tell you hello. She's still fighting for the Gulf War vets. There is a vet that she's going to be testifying in a case in Florida this weekend where a vet, after being on one of these psychotropic drugs, unfortunately had a blackout, and apparently he murdered his entire family.
Oh, my gosh. Tell her to keep in touch with us on that story, too, David, okay?
I will have her contact you tomorrow.
David von Kleist, thepowerhour.com. We've got open lines for you now for the rest of the hour. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East, 800-825-5033. First-time caller, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, open lines for the rest of this hour, but next hour, the electric universe should be a fascinating real science show. We'll be back with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, you're up. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Welcome from Church World.
Yeah. There he is.
I got a question to ask you. I've been looking at the Constitution and stuff, and Woodrow Wilson, back in 1918, did a thing about the income tax law, and I'm just in income tax law, and I'm trying to figure out what's the difference in that than what you guys are talking about.
Well, we're talking about the amendments, whether there was truly a ratification of the income tax law in the Constitution. There's been some question over whether the necessary states even made it a law. That's issue number one. Issue number two is, was it truly set up for the corporations and companies in this country and individuals? Then there's also wording, Jerry, about profits and what is income, what is profits. You know, maybe, you know, the way a corporation exists, for example, let's say they make $1,000. Then they write off everything that goes with it, salaries, you name it, expenses. And maybe they've ended up earning $20 and that's what they pay their tax on. Well, with an individual, we really don't get a lot of deductions anymore. And, you know, why can't we, in order to exist, write off what we pay to live and our clothes and everything, and the difference, whatever that is, pay the tax on that? I could live with that.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. But it's,
all right, good evening, George.
Okay, it's got to be reformed. I mean, it's got to be changed. There's no doubt about that. International Line, where are you calling from? You're on the air with us. Hi there.
I'm calling from small town Alberta, Canada.
Alberta, Canada. Janine. Hello, Janine.
And I just wanted to comment. I'm a first-time caller, and you had a little story at the beginning about a fellow who had the bus cable go through his head.
He had a pole went right through his head.
Yeah. Well, I was compelled to call in and tell you my story.
Okay.
I was on a trolley bus, and some kind of truck had gone by and broke the trolley off. I was sitting in the back seat against the window, and I just had a feeling. Some voice told me to move, and I moved just as the cable came through, and it stopped less than an inch from my head. Mm-hmm. And if I hadn't have just moved, it would have gone right through my head.
Yeah, and I don't think you would have fared as lucky as this individual in India did.
No, I don't think I would have.
I can't understand how a pole can go through somebody's skull and he not be injured. This defies logic to me. I mean, I'm not going to say he had a little pea-sized brain and it missed everything, but this is a strange story.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know how thick the cable or pole was, but he's got somebody looking after him.
Yeah, really does. Hey, thanks for your story.
All right.
Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Larry from Port Angeles, Washington.
Hey, Larry, thanks.
Hey, the income tax thing, I don't like paying taxes any more than anybody else. I'd like to keep it. You know, I'm retired, and every little bit helps. But what would happen if all of a sudden the Supreme Court said, "Yep, you guys are right. You don't have to pay taxes," and you know?
Well, that's not our fault.
Military, or Border Patrol, or
wait a minute. What Border Patrol? What Border Patrol?
Well. Yeah, I'm heading for Arizona next week.
We have Pat Buchanan as our guest Wednesday, and he has written a book about how he feels we are losing America. And regardless of how you believe and feel about Buchanan's views, this one is right on, where he talks about why the borders are being broken down and what's happening. It's a very provocative story that he's going to tell us.
I heard him on Hannity and Combs today.
Yeah. I mean, he's good. Well, you know, when it comes to issues that affect us, he's very right on.
I think so, too. But let's eliminate the Border Patrol, and let's say our highways and our radio waves and et cetera and et cetera.
Well, the highways get repaired with gasoline taxes.
Pardon me?
The gasoline taxes will pay for the highways. They've always done that.
Yeah, but the income tax pays for some of it, too.
No, I don't think the income tax pays much on the highways.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Our infrastructure.
Now, military.
I don't want to get nitpicking with you, but.
No, I know.
Infrastructure, in large, our government, you know, we rely on our government for a lot of things. And I don't think we should rely on it for a lot of things, but we do. And it's there. And
go to a use tax.
Have that income, how are you going to pay the bill?
How about a use tax? How about paying taxes on goods and services?
I think there's got to be a better way of doing it, yeah. But if it just instantly became illegal to have an income tax, we'd be screwed.
So, you know, the biggest problems that we have in this country right now, they're printing money. The Federal Reserve is printing money, printing money, just flooding the market, and look what's happening. As the value of the dollar just continues to plummet more and more and more. Stock market dropped over 200 points again today because everyone is worried about the credit crunch. And it's all over the place. Try selling a house nowadays. Those of you who have your houses up for sale, and thank God you're not in foreclosure yet, but try selling a house nowadays. It's tough. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is Rex from White River Junction, Vermont.
Yes, Rex. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard you talking about Ed and Elaine Brown.
Yes.
And Elaine used to be my dentist.
Elaine was your dentist?
Yes.
Well, that's part of the thing that got her in trouble. She didn't pay her taxes on all her dental revenue.
Well, I think more of that was on his side. Him telling her what she was supposed to do. But
she went along with it. Was she a good dentist?
She was an excellent dentist.
And what about people? Did you know them? Did you know Ed also or just her?
I knew mostly just her.
Did she ever talk about this with you?
No, she was very professional and...
Just did her thing.
Yep, did her thing.
And now, how do you feel about the fact that they got convicted for... not paying their taxes, and now they're gone?
Well, I feel very sorry for her, but I can't see where he's right. I mean, I just don't agree with...
You don't agree with the position they took?
No. No, I don't. But
all right.
I wish them very well.
Well, yeah, wherever they are, isolated, as I just said. Okay, thanks. Next up, let us go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hey, George, this is absolutely going to blow you away.
Okay, I'm holding. I'm bracing myself.
The reason why the government, in particular the courts, have been nailing these people on income tax evasion, and you're right, the law says corporations have to pay, but here's the scam. Every time you fill out an application for a birth certificate, that forms a corporation on that child. And what specifically it is, when you get the birth certificate back, the name is all in capital letters. Like George Norrie should be just the G is capitalized, but in the corporations, the whole name is capitalized. That legally forms the corporation. And guess what? You're paying the corporate income taxes. And if you don't believe me, George, look on your driver's license, look on your credit cards, look on your W-2s. Your name is capitalized and all that stuff. That's George Norrie Incorporated. Guess what? George Norrie Incorporated has to pay income tax.
Just by the capitalization, that means we're a corporation?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Everything has meaning in the law.
Huh.
And now the thing is, though, you would think that that means we have tyranny, except for one thing. If you go into a courtroom and ask the judge to throw that out because you're, you know, being oppressed by the government, he's going to throw that out because of one reason, something called UCC-1, the Universal Commercial Code 1, UCC-1. That basically takes that corporation out of the hands of the government, and you keep it. In other words, your corporate, George Norrie Incorporated, is a straw man the government's using to take everything from you. But you have the ability to get a lien on that through this UCC-1. Don't believe me. Do the research yourself.
All right. I will do that.
Universal Commercial Code 1.
Okay.
UCC-1. That's how we can take back the country from our tyrannical government right now.
All right. We'll check into that for our tech show. I didn't know that. East of the Rockies, your turn. Hello there.
George.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? This is John in Atlanta.
Hey, John. Hey, any rain out there at all?
Yes, the last couple of days we got a little bit.
Yes.
Not much.
Well, you need more, don't you? How about the lake? Is it filling up or still going down?
We need a couple feet of rain.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, if we can get out there in coast-to-coast land, we much appreciate it.
Everyone's still praying for you, John.
Yeah, we need it. The income tax, I know you've interviewed Aaron Russo, and I didn't catch the interview. I just watched his movie, Freedom to Fascism. I just want to highly recommend it to your listeners. It's an amazing eye-opener.
Sure is. And you know he has passed away now.
Yeah, I heard that recently.
Yeah. Died a few months ago.
I didn't even know he was unwell.
He was battling cancer.
Heart attack, didn't he?
No, cancer.
Cancer.
Cancer got him.
Well, anyway, from what he says in this movie about the income tax is that none of the money collected on our income goes toward the functioning of government whatsoever. It goes toward most, if not all of it, goes toward just paying the interest on the debt that our government has laid on.
I think he's right.
So, I mean, this is an incredible fraud.
And see, we keep
opinion, what he lays out in that movie has been perpetrated on the American people.
And we keep borrowing in order to try to keep the government running. And you know what that would be like for you if you had to borrow money just to exist all the time? Eventually, you got to pay the piper or it all collapses. You know, after we did our JFK anniversary special, the 44th anniversary of his assassination, that program we had Thanksgiving night, I've gotten a lot of emails from people who have other sources and other people that they'd like us to interview for next year's program. But I may do one or two of them over the next several weeks in the first hour. I just saw the video of the Secret Service that was marching along or hanging on the bumper of President Kennedy's car, and they were told to stand down. And you could see this one Secret Service agent was so frustrated, so baffled that he was told to, he would have been on the bumper of the Lincoln Continental behind the president if Kennedy got shot from that back of the school book depository. The Secret Service agent would have been blocking that shot. He was told to get off the bumper, stop running, and you could clearly see him three times holding his arms up in the air like, what's this all about? Three times. It's the most incredible video I've seen in a long time. But we're going to be interviewing several people who know what the Secret Service was doing during that horrible day, and we're going to get some reaction. One reporter interviewed the wife of the Secret Service agent who was sitting next to the driver, who, and they're all dead now. Those two are dead. The driver's dead, and the other Secret Service agent who was sitting next to the driver, he's dead. Greer was a driver. Kellerman was the other one. Kellerman was baffled that Greer simply brought that limousine down to a snail's crawl when Kennedy was hit, where procedure, Secret Service procedure, is you put the pedal to the metal and you get out of there. And he just almost stopped it. And Kellerman, till the day he died, always was wondering what the heck was going on there. But his wife, Kellerman's wife, had told this reporter that Kellerman always thought there was a conspiracy in this. There's much more. And you know what? We're not going to let that one go away either. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello, George. This is Mark from Santa Rosa, California.
Hey, Mark. Thanks, and welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. You know, I was calling in, and I was originally going to call with a ghost story, and I feel like at this point in our calendar, it's a little bit passe. And as I was waiting to get through, what I really wanted to call about was hope. And the hope that I get from your show, frankly, I find you to be a selfless individual in the work that you do on your show and elsewhere. And, you know, I listen to news and I listen to your show, and I'll be honest, sometimes I come away with angst and nervousness. There are these conspiracies going on around us. But where I get my hope from your show and from just meeting people is I think we're all in this to find truth and to find the common good. And I think that we overlook the need to find this common good these days. I think so often we're finding ourselves in one camp or another. And I'm just calling with really a request, not a plea, but if people, and in their search for the truth that we do on your show, instead of coming into a camp, go to the middle a little bit. Find the truth. There are three sides to every story, they say. Your side, my side, and the truth. And in our quest for truth, let's be cooperative.
I like that's that. And listen to other people.
Yes. I just wanted to plant that out there to put some good energy out there.
All right, Mark. Good points. Thanks for that. And you know how we have been on top of some of these stories before the mainstream media hits, the Dubai port story, and some we were, and when I say we broke or we were first, I mean on the mainstream level. I'm not talking about some of the aggressive, smaller internet sites that come up with a lot of these stories way before we do. Talking about the mainstream. You know, when you're on 500 radio stations and satellite and everything else, you're considered mainstream. And that's what I mean. And, you know, so we've talked about SARS, and you know I do not believe there's going to be a bird flu pandemic and issues like that. But I'm going to tell you about another story right now, and if time permits, we'll take another call before we're done here. Young children in different regions of this country are dying of heart problems in record numbers never seen before by the medical profession. They don't know if it's a virus, they don't know if it's environmental, but young children are dying with heart disease, and I'm talking very young children. We're working on a story on that. Mark my word, there's a major story here on that that is going to break probably after we do our story, but it's out there, and it's dangerous, and they don't know what's wrong. Let's go west of the Rockies. I've got a minute for you. Take it away.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Sam.
Hi, Sam. Where's Sam?
This is Arizona, Sam.
Okay. Oh, that's right. All right.
Hey,
almost like Yosemite, IRS, Sam.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, regarding the IRS situation, what people need to realize is that they're tied directly into the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve is not a part of the U.S. government.
That's right. They're almost like the collection agency for the Federal Reserve.
Exactly, and the IRS is formed exactly for that reason. See, the 16th Amendment, the Federal Reserve Act, and the IRS was all proposed in Congress in 1913, the same year. That's no coincidence. And so all the money that the IRS collects goes directly into the Federal Reserve. If anybody doubts it, look at the back of the check that they pay their income tax with. It'll say deposit directly to the IRS. Or the Federal Reserve.
Bang. And they take it.
Yeah, and they make a big profit for their owners.
And then they lend it back to us.
Yeah, they take our money, lend it to us, and charge us interest on our own money. Now, how good of a scam could you have, but better than that?
Unbelievable. Now, by the way, I heard today that a multi-billion-dollar investment's going to be done into Citicorp by the Abu Dhabi Investments. Because Citicorp needs to be propped up from this credit crunch, and the Abu Dhabi group will pump in about $7 or $8 billion to do that for about a 5% stake in Citicorp. How about that? I'll be back in a moment as we look at things in the universe on Coast to Coast AM.